podcast for witches, intersectional feminists, and Wiccans alike, with a focus on current events, witchcraft, paganism, and life as a person of color, aka my day-to-day life. Before we get started, just some basic housekeeping. If I research something or have done research, it will be cited on the blog post with a corresponding title. I will be using the terms Wiccan, pagan, and witch interchangeably, but only in reference to myself because I identify with all of these titles. This does not imply that they are the same thing. And I love being able to make my podcast and blog for you all, but this podcast will sometimes contain ads to help me pay for necessities in college. If you would like to support me and my work and minimize the need for ads, please go to anchor.fm/wiccantations and hit the support button. Starting at as little as 99 cents per month, you can subscribe and help me financially. Any donations are greatly appreciated. Thank you. This is a Tea and Tarot episode. This means that I will be talking about anything related to reading and or interpreting tarot cards. Merry Met and blessed be everyone. I'm starting to actually remember the fact that I am supposed to say that at the beginning of my episode. So hey, we're doing better today. We're doing a lot better. Today's tarot reading is about Lerv. If you listened to the podcast right before this, you didn't have to, no requirement or anything like that. I published it about 5 seconds ago, but I guess in your time, this will be yesterday, so to speak. I may have mentioned the fact that I recently got a girlfriend, which is exciting and very, very fun for me, and I'm very happy about that, because I've liked her for a very long time, like a year and a half, and so this is like a very big step, because it took me forever to work my way up to asking her out and to like figure out like, hey, does she actually like me back, or am I just like reading too much into it? Because, to preface this a little, I do identify as pansexual, and I also identify as a woman and a femme, my girlfriend also identifies as a woman, so, like, you know, this is specifically from a very cis-normative perspective, I will start out by saying that, but, like, girls are complicated, okay? Girls are complicated, and girls are very, very complex, and, like, especially with girls who, like, even if you know that they're not straight, it gets a little complicated because, like, girls can be affectionate with each other sometimes, okay? There's nothing wrong with that, but, like, if you see a picture of one girl all up on somebody else, like, you don't know whether they're just best friends or whether that's her girlfriend. Like, it looks the same, all right? Unless one of you fits a very, very, like, butch, masculine, gay stereotype. Like, I can't tell the difference, and it's a little stressful, because then I'm like, I don't know whether this is just, like, you being a girl, or whether this is, like, something special that I should be looking for. I don't know. It's a little confusing. But yeah, so, you know, I apparently read the cues well, and it's turned out to be in my favor, so I'm currently trying to shuffle my cards right now. Because I have no time to do research in my life, as I have way too many things to do. One of my favorite activists, who also runs a podcast, Erica Hart, I'm trying to get her to do, like, a conference at my school. So I need to, like, mentally prepare myself for, like, writing her this weekend and emailing her and, like, sending her an email that's like, hey, can you come speak at my very private white institution? Where it's, while we are technically an all-girls school, we also, not everyone identifies with that gender. And, you know, talk about gender or sexuality or your experiences with breast cancer or, like, anything or race. I don't care. I just want you to come talk to us because you're amazing and special and fabulous and beautiful. And just, like, her soul is so gorgeous that I can't. Like, I recently listened to a podcast about pretty privilege. Like, it wasn't about pretty privilege specifically, but, like, it definitely talked about it, how, like, there's a certain privilege that you have if you are conventionally attractive. So, like, one thing that I'm trying to change in my language is, like, I'm not just going to acknowledge that you're beautiful on the outside. I'm also going to acknowledge that you're beautiful on the inside, and that's what matters more to me. But yeah, so she's absolutely fantastic. I love her work. It's so nice, and I would love to be able to just like have a conversation, share a space with her, and be able to like listen to her in person and all that. It's just, ugh, I can't. All right, I'm gonna be a bit of a cliche, okay? Leave me alone. But what we're gonna be doing is what I like to call a heart spread, you know? So, how am I gonna work this out? I don't know yet. I'm raking it up as I go. This is a little less of a put together spread than I normally do, but we're making it work. Wait, she just texted me. Wait, wait, wait. She texted me. Sorry. She's like, I very much just am constantly. She's so cute, and she's just such a sweetheart. And like, she's very much a soft butch, strong, silent type kind of person. But like, it works for her, and it's fine. And like, I think it's funny that like she very much like on a day-to-day basis fits like the soft butch stereotype. Like, if she does have long-ish hair, but it's like always put up, always in pants, always in t-shirts, but like more on the masculine kind of like show off the muscle sides. Like, she plays softball. I really did just say that she does play softball, and I think it's the cutest thing ever. That uniform, I die. But yeah, like, you know, she fits the masculine stereotypes, and then some days she walks in and she just wears this like bodycon dress, and I'm like, oh, you decided to kill me today. You decided to leave me deceased on the floor. Great, thanks, I appreciate it. Sorry, she's just like texting me right now and asking me like what the random newscaster that dude that talked to me today wanted. He wanted to know about something about Bryce Howard's contract. I don't know who Bryce Howard is. I presume it's a sports thing. But yeah, you know, it's okay. Anyways, we're back on topic. Back on topic. Back on topic, kid. All right. So, let me take a second to figure out how many cards I want to do this as. Maybe seven. I feel like seven might be a good number. I don't know. We'll see. It really depends on how the spread like plays out. Is that what a heart looks like? Kinda, sorta. All right, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's 8 cards. But that's okay. Okay, wait. The only issue with me like coming up with this spread on the fly is that like I didn't plan out in what order I want to go in or anything like that. And normally I like think these things through a bit better, but par for the course right now that I just like don't know what I'm doing. So yeah, let me pick these cards back up and then I will shuffle again. As I'm shuffling, I guess I'm just gonna talk to you guys. But yeah, with the whole like Bryce Howard thing, apparently he signed a deal for like $13 million or something like that, which is a hell of a lot of money, you know? Like, what? Like, I know, okay, not gonna lie, like, I grew up, I'm growing up in a generation where, like, baseball isn't a thing. People don't talk about baseball, at least not to my knowledge. So, like, when you're over here and you're telling me that, like, some baseball dude, like, was talking about just what? Like, some dude got like 13 mil for baseball. I'm just very confused as to how that works. Okay. All right. How am I gonna do this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, No, we're going to alternate. One, two, three, four. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, guys. You're getting real-time work right now. All right. I know what I want to do. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I really, really, really want to zig-a-zig. Ah. Anyways, sorry. Copyrighted stuff. Woo! Just had to throw that in there. I'm very much like a music person where I'll just like spontaneously start singing. And you really are getting my rambles today. Like, I'm just on a rambling roll. I don't know what it is. I think y'all will be okay. I hope you enjoy my never-ending barrage of words. Or maybe even I'm funny. Dare I say that I am a funny person. I don't think I am. Y'all think apparently a good 150 or so of you think I am because you keep listening to my podcast. And I'm like, not mad at that. And I promise I will update my Instagram this weekend because it's been neglected. It really has been. And like, I promised myself that I was going to get my page together and I was going to have like a grid design and everything. And I just like have not been doing that. So I'm going to get it together. Okay. All right. Spreads ready. I know what order I'm going in. Cards have been shuffled. Let's do this thing. Side note, listen to Kalani's mixtape while we wait because it is gorgeous. It is beautiful. It is like soul fulfilling. Okay. Like if you ever had a moment where it's like either some ex is like trying to talk to you and you're like, why are you here? Ex anything, ex friend, ex lover, whatever. If they're no longer in your life and they're like, what's up? And you are like, why are you here? It's none of your business. There's a song for you. If you're like in a new relationship like me and like feeling things out and you want to be like, you know, fluid in their love language, there's a song for you too. You know, if you want to like, if you're ready to at that stage in your relationship where it's like, if you cannot love me at my goodnight, at my like, I'm going to bed, got my face mask on, got my hair put up, got my like nails off, makeup off, eyeliner off, everything off, whatever you do, off, clean, bare face, etc., etc. If you can't love me at my goodnight, you can't have me at my morning glory when I'm like glowing and living my best life. There's a song for you too. I hope y'all notice that I'm being corny as F and like dropping these little the song lyrics and titles in my descriptions, okay? But like, yeah, it's the whole album. I think it's been the number one R&B album for the past like week on iTunes and Apple Music because it's just so good. It's just indescribably good. It's so good, and I have no other way to explain that to you. Okay, we're ready. Gonna take a deep breath. Bring myself back down to earth, to my center, channeling the energy from that mixtape and, you know, some positive vibes because that's where I want this to go and that's what I want the cards to understand and what the universe to understand and receive, where it's like, it's not just a willy-nilly lighthearted relationship. Like, I really want to go this somewhere, have this go somewhere and last, I want to say, a decently long time, you know, and like ebb and flow and grow and shrink with me, with her, with all of us, because we have been friends for about 4 years before we got in a relationship, so we're part of a friend group, and that also is growing with us, so bringing us back down to center. Ooh, I just sniffed on the microphone. I'm so sorry. Air, you carried her to me. You lifted up my feelings into her eyes. You helped her see what she needed to see. You helped her eyes turn in my direction. I welcome you to the circle, and I ask you to help me see in what way the winds will blow for our future. Water, you washed away all of my anxiety. You washed away all of my negative emotions. You helped expose the confidence that I already had in myself and in who we are. to be able to ask her out, you helped wash away all of those doubts that I was feeling, and you wash away my worries going around this world, this country, as a black femme who is also queer, where every time I take a step out of my house, it's a safety risk. You wash away that for me so I can continue living my best life and live my best life with her too. I welcome you to the circle, and I ask you to wash away the sands of time over our passage forward and wash away any uncertainty. Well, not uncertainty. Uncertainty is necessary, but wash away any clouds that will obscure the direction we may take. Fire, you are the passion that brought me to her. You are the flame that has been kept alive and kindled for about a year and a half now. You are the charisma that I have, that I may have, not sure. And you are the fire that exists between us. You are the passion. You are the love. I ask you into the circle and to show me where our passions will go and whether our fire will continue to burn brightly and grow, or whether it may shrink and extinguish itself, which is okay too. Earth, you ground me, you centered me, you reminded me that not everything along this path, along this journey that I am taking, will be sugar canes and fairy tales. You keep me centered, you keep me grounded, you keep me realistic, and you remind me that not everything is based on my timeline, that a relationship is about compromise, and that you have to consider the other people just as much as you consider yourself. I welcome you to this. I ask you to this circle, and I ask that you ground me in this journey of looking forward in our relationship. And I ask that you keep me centered in where I think this will go, and in what the cards show me. Spirit, you have worked in tangent with all of the other elements and helping me get to where I am now. You have helped me grow, you have helped me learn, you have helped me develop myself so I can be ready to develop alongside someone else. I welcome you to the circle, and I ask that you invigorate me and that you also help me in keeping where myself on the path that is best for me and for the both of us, because I care about her too. Take a deep breath again. Shuffle the cards one more time. Ooh, that was a good one. I don't know if y'all could hear that. Not into ASMR, so I'm not going to do it again for the microphone, but like, that was a good, satisfying, like, I don't know what it's called, but it's like the thing where you split the deck in half and then you just like let them like fall from your fingers and like land overlapping. It was solid. And it usually is not. All right, are we ready? Are we ready? I think we're ready. I don't know why I just said it like that. Sorry. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. I have just laid my cards out in kind of a heart shape thing going on, you know, representative of the fact that this is kind of like about our relationship, and it is about love, and it is about the heart. And so I wanted to acknowledge that in the shape of the spread that I picked. And let's start flipping these cards over. I may change my mind later, but right now, because this is a heart spread, and because it has to do with love, and love is something that's so complicated and hard to understand and easily convoluted, as I was making the spread, quite literally a few minutes ago, I decided that it would be best, to not kind of like have a set intention for what the cards mean, but kind of just let them show me what they show me and take that as it is and kind of roll with it and figure out how it applies to my life. So first card is this Major Arcana, and it is the Star, which is card number 17. Once again, I will be using, where is it? One second. Found it. I will be using the What the F is Tarot and How Do I Do It by Baccara Wintner, owner of Everyday Magic, with illustrations by Autumn Whitehurst. So if you want to get the books for yourselves, you know exactly what book to get. I really should put the book in the description of the episodes. Actually, I think I'll do that. So you can actually, so if you go to the episode description starting now for any of my tarot episodes, any books that I use as a reference will be down there for you to look at. The Star. A philosopher once said, "Are we human because we gaze at the stars, or do we gaze at them because we are human? Pointless, really. Do the stars gaze back? Now that's a question." Neil Gaiman, Stardust. Wasn't there a sex scandal with Neil? No, that was Neil deGrasse Tyson. My bad. Never mind. Sorry. Keywords are hope, healing, connection, altruism, wish, divine navigation, rebuild, wellspring, salvage, inspiration, recovery, new dawn, illuminating, cleansing, destiny, guided. We just caught the bleep, the poop kicked out of us by the tower. We are tired and broken and probably still covered in ash. When the last ember extinguishes itself, when the smoke clears, when the dust settles, we enter into the star. She is shimmering, hydrating, healing. She gives us water, puts salves on our birds, and offers us refuge. If it's always darkest before the dawn, then the star is that dawn. Think about the hardest you've ever cried in your life, and then the moment you took a deep breath, wiped the snot off your face, and decided you were done crying, you felt lighter and clean. That is the star. I think for me, this is very representative of my girlfriend and how she is as a person, because she's very much like, it's increased over the, I'm a person who, like, part of my healing process and part of how I manage things that happen in my life is that, like, I'm very, very open with my friends about certain aspects of, like, what's going on and how I'm feeling and, like, where some of the, where I believe that some of my feelings are coming from. Totally should be in therapy, and I actually do need to go to therapy, but, you know, budget, so haven't been doing that, but that's its own separate issue for another day. But yeah, you know, so like this is my way of being like, I'm here, I am acknowledging the problem, acknowledging my role in the problem, and like trying to figure out what this means for me, you know. So she's very much like over the years has increasingly grown to be like that first person that I go to where it's like, if I need to say something, I'm probably going to say it to you first. Because, like, I love her, but she's also very much an apathetic person. Like, emotions are just not a thing for her, kind of, sort of. Which is, like, both cute and also, like, please kill me because I never know how you're feeling. So, like, that's being able to have someone who grounds me in that kind of way. Because, like, while I am also a very, like, I'm a very, she's the rock to my wave. She's the boulder. She's the mountain. She's the island to my wave. I think that's what I'm going to go with because we're both sturdy. We're both not going to go anywhere. We're both going to be there, but I'm definitely more tempestuous. I'm more volatile. I'm more high strung. Like, as much as I'm like, you can always depend on me. And like, when it comes to serious things, I will buckle down and I will like give you a very serious, well thought out answer. And like, when I get mad, I don't get yelling, angry, mad. I get like calm, cool, collected, let me like talk at you and stare you in your face kind of mad, which is also a little weird for my friends. They're like, Mika, why? But yeah, you know, so like that's I as much as I am like a steady person and like ever present, I'm also like constantly on the move, doing my own thing, running around places, dealing with my issues, dealing with other people's issues, like flitting back and forth, inconsistent, not in a bad way, just like it's just a part of who I am and how I function. Versus she grounds me. Like, she just is that source of comfort that I know that I always have. Like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but for me, as someone who's a very physically affectionate person, like both platonically and romantically, like I like having physical contact. I like holding your hand. I like being able to lean on you. I like kissing people. I mean, not that I've been kissed, you know, kiss, but like, it's just like, it's a part of me to look out for that physical contact, that like physical reassurance that like, hey, I'm here for you, not just in spirit, but like, you can literally feel my body near you. So like, whenever we, like, I sleep over at our house or anything like that, like, she's always been that person that like, I cuddle up against, that we like, hold each other during like, movies and things. And it's never, I mean, never read it as anything more than that until now, but like, that kind of feeling of just like, you're here for me, and you're here to take care of me, and you're my light, like, you're what I look towards when I need something, is very important in how we function with each other. Whew, I just like went for it, you know, airing out all my laundry. It's okay, none of you know me in real life, so it's fine. That's the point of the podcast, and that's the point of using like another name that is, I do actually want to go by at some point. Whoop whoop, benefits of moving, you get to like reinvent yourself a little and be like, I want to do this with my life now, and I want to do that with my life now, so that's going to be pretty cool. Anyways, sidetracking. Card number two is the Queen of Swords, Queen, I need a Q. Swords, where are the swords? Queen of Swords. Oh, right. I really like this book, but it's also a little annoying in that, like, it doesn't really use the same words for everything else. So in this case, I think it's I think Queen of Swords is going to be the same thing as the Mother of Swords. That's like the one thing I don't like about this book so far. I haven't been able to like sit down and read it cover to cover the way I would like to, but you know, you do what you gotta do. All right, Mother of Swords, that bee you don't want to mess with. The Mother of Swords has been burned in the past, badly, perhaps repeatedly, and it is not going to let that happen again. She shut down her heart for the sake of protecting it, and she had her reasons, but she never went back to retrieve it. She's got trust issues. She never sought therapy for it. She craves connection, but cannot ask for it, and refuses it when it comes her way. As a result, attempts at vulnerability come off stunted, translating as victimhood and blaming. You're never comfortable around her. Her passive aggression borders on aggression at all times. Anything you say can make her snap at you. Honestly, she's a bee. She's sharp, jaded, mistrustful, and quick to assume the worst about others. She rarely forgives and never forgets. Hurt people, and her cruelty is extra, utilizing her intelligence, pain, and whatever she knows about you to go in for the kill. She confuses coldness for strength. She may feel a sense of pride for her paranoia, citing it as discernment. She justifies her behaviors because of what she's been through and is motivated by self-preservation. All right, cards, y'all, that was a little rude, okay, because that's very much me. My past has very much influenced my future, and I definitely like have certain walls up about my relationships and about how I like go through life, okay, and like I didn't need to call it out. And in this case, because I'm sitting at the bottom of the heart, intentionally place myself there, technically the card is reversed, so the sword is pointing towards me, so I'm taking that as, like, this is you, this is what you need to examine about yourself, and I'm like, okay, I know, thanks for the reminder. So I think this is, like, a note to me to, like, hey, you know, there are multiple sides to a relationship, and part of a relationship is, like, letting people in, telling people things, not just like superficial stuff or stuff that happened about your day, but also like having heavy conversations about like, hey yo, what's up in your life, like what have you been doing, what's been happening for you, and looking at that kind of, not rhetoric, I don't know why rhetoric is a word that popped into mind, I've been like thinking about my politics class, but like looking at that kind of language and how you treat others and what you talk about too with others, and like re-examining that. So I think that was my card's way of being like, Mika, make sure you don't like let the really small frightened child part of you, Nova, don't let the small frightened small English, I promise, don't let the small frightened child part of you overpower where you want this relationship to go. So thank you for the note cards. Really appreciate it. It's been great. Card number 3 is the Two of Cups. Two of Cups. 90. Page 90. I honestly don't fully understand how this book is organized. I really gotta look at that later because it's a little confusing. I think it's, I don't know. We'll figure it out. All right, Two of Cups. An amazing Tinder date. Oh. Oh, wait. The baby of the lover's card, the Two of Cups shows a promising new connection, typically of the romantic variety. It can reflect a first date that went unbelievably well or the giddiness that accompanies a new relationship, whether the other person hasn't done anything to make you hate them yet. Dating can be a challenging and awkward endeavor, and while my clients come to me with all kinds of questions, they're at their most exposed when asking about romantic relationships. This card is reassurance. You're in a good situation. Both parties have something to offer each other that may be different in content but equal in value. What is more, they want to give to each other. No insecurity-inducing games, no excuses. Maybe it's too soon to tell if this is a soulmate, future life partner, person you will die with, but reaching for those answers comes from a place of fear anyway. Right now, the answer is yes. This is right. It's new. It's new and possesses the formalities and mysteries of a new relationship, but the joy of discovery and intimacy of the Two of Cups is not to be missed. It's falling in love. We live for this. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, because, like, if you look up an image of the Two of Cups, it's two people sharing cups with each other. So I'm just gonna take that as a happy note and, you know, carry on with my life and be a little smirky. Smirky-derky. Oh, ooh, can we just pretend I never said that? That didn't come out my mouth. I don't know why I just said that. Wow, I'm a sap. Oh, cool. Woo. I just got the Devil, which is number 15 in the Major Arcana. One second. There we go. The soul is restless and furious. It wants to tear itself apart and cure itself from being human. Unknown. Perversion, distortion, imbalance, addiction, succumbing, enslavement, blocked, vices, bondage, insidious, indulgement, seductive, karmic, deep-rooted, consumption, suffering, oppression, hedonism. Well, that's heavy. I don't know how to take this card. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my judgment here and take this card as I'm going to leave it alone for right now, and I'm going to look at the other ones, and depending on how the other ones go, I may just, like, pass it off as, like, a fluke and be like, I don't know how this card ended up here, but it's there. It may be, like, oh, something that I need to be careful of and look for in myself or in my partner. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just going to let that stay where it is for now. Next card after that, Ten of Cups. Ten of Cups, page 94. Okay, the question we ask in the Ace of Cups, what if I'm actually gorgeous, is answered in the 10 with a resounding, heck yes you are, honey. This card is the apex of feminine power, and we're feeling like a queen and a goddess, gentle and powerful, a nurturer and a warrior, fierce and soft, overflowing and full all at the same time. The dazzling, bright, hot stage lights inside us switched on, and we can finally bear witness to our own radiance and magnetism. Physicality has no bearing on the effects of this card. Anyone embodying this energy is glowing from the inside out. There is no mistaking this glow. No amount of highlighter can make you this radiant, and the currency of it far outweighs aesthetic perfection. We know this. We sense it in others. We feel it course through our veins. The precarious happiness discovered in the Nine of Cups stabilizes and grounds in the Ten. In this place, we are in the best possible position to give to the world. Fortified by an understanding of our value and secure enough to ask for what we need, the Ten of Cups shows us perfect reciprocity, the gorgeous ripple effect of living a big life. What's up? Thanks, cards. I really like how this is looking, actually. This has been looking pretty good. Oh, and then I got the Nine of Cups. That's Nine Cups, right? Yeah, that's Nine Cups. Sorry, I just, like, for a second, I just, like, flipped it and was like, that's 11 Cups. And it's like, no, it's not. It's Nine Cups. This 11 doesn't exist. Nine of Cups, blissed out. The most obvious meaning of this happy card is fertility, gestation, and pregnancy. Oh, okay, that's a little far. Both in the literal and metaphorical sense. I honestly don't have much to say when the Nine of Cups is drawn in a reading, except embrace it. You are in a period of contentment, joy, and comfort. Like movies, readings are less interesting when all is well. You found everything you didn't know you were looking for when you left the wreckage of the Eight, and it's sublime. Life is good, fam. Not to interrupt your bliss, but the Nine of Cups also can... I really hate... when non-POCs use AAVE. Okay, gets me, sorry. Things are always ripest right before they rot. In extreme cases, it may insinuate numbness, overindulgence, even addiction. More often, the rot is due to smugness and self-satisfaction. Think couples in their early 20s who drone on about how lucky they are to have found each other, and like people who wait their whole lives and never get to experience what they have together. I'm going to take that one with a grain of salt. So be like, you're definitely on the right path. Just watch it. Watch where you're going, kid. I'll take that as a watch where you're going, kid. All right. Next up is the Emperor, which is 4 in the Major Arcana. Oops. I think I went too far. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. All right. Leadership is about submission to duty, not elevation to power. Gordon Tootoosis? Let's go with it. Authority, steadfast, father, consistent, deliberate, structure, balanced, rigid, reliable, safety, power, contained, logical, leader, self-possessed, grounded, proprietor, security, fixed, productive, objective. Okay, I think this is leaning a little more towards the fact that, like, I was the one who did the asking. Sure. I don't want to be the dumber. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this one. It's facing towards me, so I'm kind of like, should I take that as, like, I'm probably going to be the dominant person in this relationship? Or should I take that as, like, you go, girl, you made the first move? Not sure which, but... we're gonna roll with it for now. Oh boy. And then finally, the Eight of Cups, which is 93 to 94. The Eight of Cups revisits the idea of letting go of something that isn't serving us. So what differentiates this card from others that hold comparable meanings? In the Wands and Swords, there is a desire to let go, and the act of doing so brings it with it some immediate sense of freedom and release. While it may not have been easy, there is an undeniable rightness to it. Not so in the Eight of Cups. This broken relationship, behavior, or situation depicted here leaves us heartbroken, devastated, and laid bare. The red flags, the moments of clarity, and the invitations to let go before it reached this point were ignored. We wouldn't or couldn't, and here we are, still holding on, trying to repair this broken thing. But the shards of it are slicing open the pads of our fingers, already scarred from picking up the same sharp pieces over and over again. Woy! Woy! A pure Haitian woy comes out on that one. The way... I'm going to look at receiving that card because it is in the reverse position. It's kind of like maybe just like a warning to let go of some aspects of our previous relationship that I might be holding on to. So like, hey, if you're going to make this transition to like from like friend to lover, you better be ready to fully commit is what I'm going to take it as. So let's hope that's... what that is, because that's a really, really heavy card to get. But yeah, those are my 8 cards with my heart reading. So I will make sure, because I've been like failing at this blog thing, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to like, I'm going to have to do a blog. I'm going to do a blog. I promise. I'm going to try again. We're going to take 2,758 to do a blog. We're going to get it together, guys. We're going to get it together at some point. Whether I do a blog, we'll see. I'll probably post on it in my stories on my Instagram, but at bare minimum, I will do an Instagram post that shows you the spread and probably talk about it in my stories and be like, hey, here's the spread, here's what it means kind of thing. So like, you have options, you know, places to look and be like, oh, let me go find that spread that Mika did, that Nova did, that's like this thing. So it'll be there for you when you need it. Yeah. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed a little insight into my life and my relationship and a little insight into love. Also, please do remember that, like, tarot cards are not infallible. They can be affected by how you're feeling. They could be affected by just, like, how the world is feeling. Climate change, like, I don't know if this was the best time to do it because we're prepared for to go from like a pretty warm, nice kind of weather to like some freezing cold, like it's supposed to snow tonight where I am. So maybe today that might have affected how the reading came out and like why I got like such an odd balance of like positive and negative cards. Because like most of the negative ones I feel like were like middle ground, partially because some of them were reversed, so it's like not full impact negativity. And then there was just like the devil. And it was like, I don't know. But please excuse the weird sound I made just then. I'm such an awkward human. Maybe I should just do this podcast with someone else. Because, like, at least with someone else, then there's someone else to, like, stop me from making weird sounds and noises and just talking people's ear off. I don't know. But, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta work through it. So I'm gonna take some time to think on how that reading went a little. And maybe do an update in a few months. I don't know. We'll see. Where are my gloves? Okay, sorry, got distracted. But yeah, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it as an absolute. Don't plan your whole life around it. Like, I use the same philosophy for astrology. Like, I do believe it has influence, but it also, like, does not define you. In the sense that, like, if, let's say, I don't know enough about astrology, so this is going to be wrong and fake, so I'm gonna not even do something. So let's say there was a star sign that's called Opal, and then it's like, anyone with an Opal rising sign is like a super duper extrovert where you like to go to parties every weekend, and then you're like introvert extraordinaire, you're like, don't talk to me unless you're my friend. So, you know, it's not like infallible, it's not like an absolute truth, you know, the way that like you have a toe isn't, I don't know. Like, having a body part is an absolute... Okay, I'm getting into weird, uncharted philosophy territory, and that's not where I want to go. So I'm going to take that as my cue to stop rambling into a microphone and let you guys, like, not have an hour and a half long episode. So, did I just say episode? Yeah, I think they are called episodes. Podcast episode? Yeah, let's go with that. Anyways, but yeah, thank you again for listening. Thank you guys who are gonna come back and stick with me through this like hiatus, unintentional hiatus that I just took. Thank you for being patient with me, you know, and like acknowledging the fact that like, as much as I would love to be the person who like has it all together and has the blog and is posting every week on time and everything, you know, life happens, life gets in the way. And just, you gotta take care of yourself sometimes, which is what I'm trying to do. Alrighty then, I'm gonna let you go. Why do I sound like I'm ending a phone call? You need to really work on that and how I'm ending, closing out these episodes. But Mary Met, Mary Part, and blessed be. Feel free to contact me by email at wiccantations@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at the handle wiccantations. That is spelled WICCANTATIONS. If you'd like to learn more about my opinion on these topics, please visit my blog. The link is in the bio. I am doing bi-monthly anonymous tarot readings. If you would like to submit a question, please email me, DM me, or contact me through my blog with anonymous tarot reading in the subject line. If you would like to guarantee a tarot reading by paying for one, feel free to contact me for more information.